the GOAT, best corner in the league.
Jalen Ramsey, the best in the game.
Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro, the Pro Bowl cornerback.
What a one who's that I saw.
Jalen Ramsey will make the diving interception in the end zone.
You will not see a better play than this all season.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
You got to be mentally and physically ready to go up against him.
Did I tell you I'm in the DB room this week? I'm leaving here with something.
And it's intercepted by Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey with a pick.
Not a lot of DBs is that tall, that fast. When are we going to come to you?
Pick him with me. He's still a little boy. Make sure you go wherever I go. Don't run.
The big hit on the edge to keep him from moving the chain.
Jalen Ramsey headed to Miami.
Drive Time with Travis Wingfield begins now.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
Oh yeah, what is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast. Today's episode is a very special edition of the Drive Time Podcast from the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex. We're going to open up the new league year. The 2023 season began today, and we say that about 16 more times on the calendar, but the official start of the new campaign kicks off today as teams can now officially sign unrestricted free agents and complete trades of veteran players. We're going to cover just that from the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex. This is the Drive Time Podcast. You guys like that new first down call there? That is the Caroline Wingfield edition. Got her to say it on a recording, and now it will be in the podcast forever. And just a heads up, we are going to cover every single signing and re-sign the Miami Dolphins do this offseason. Want to go ahead and let you know about some reports. We'll cover them more in depth when they become official. The Dolphins have agreed to bring back linebacker Duke Riley, running back Savon Ahmed, running back Raheem Mostert, running back Jeff Wilson, and offensive tackle Kendall Lamb. Lamb and Mostert are official. Those are done. The others are per reports from various reporters around the National Football League, and of course the fifth-year option for Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to dive more in-depth into all of those on a future podcast. This is the Jalen Ramsey episode, and I want to cover this acquisition from a few angles and start here with this. Well, first, the details. The Dolphins acquire three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowl cornerback Jalen Ramsey, but how about the trade compensation? A third-round draft pick, actually the pick acquired for Devontae Parker from the New England Patriots, and tight end Hunter Long, who was a third-round pick 2 years ago, who has one career catch. So the natural question is, how the hell do the Dolphins get arguably the game's best cornerback for essentially two third-round picks? Well, this player was dealt for two first-round picks just 4 years ago, and guess what? The dude can still ball at age 28. He's got 8 picks and 34 passes defense the last 2 years combined. That, along with being the number one graded cornerback on PFF and the number three cornerback this past season. More on the stats and the tape here in just a moment. Remember we talked about this on the Vic Fangio episode? How Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins are making a habit out of attracting blue chip talent? Players and coaches with reputations as the best of the very best. The Dolphins are a destination. It's nice. It's becoming an embarrassment of riches in terms of the talent on the Dolphins roster. I mean, you could really extend this back to when Greer took over and that 2016 draft that yielded Laramie and X and arguably had an even better draft class 2 years later in 2018 and then Christian Wilkins in 2019. But the core of this roster and the vision behind this approach began in earnest with that 2020 offseason spending spree and all those draft picks. We've done this a few times, but I want to change the scope a little bit. Let's go back to the 2020 season and count the players who have played like the top dogs at their respective position and who was acquired by the Miami Dolphins over the last three campaigns. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa all year in 2022 when healthy was a top five NFL quarterback by any measure you want to look at and by the tape as well. Defensive end Emmanuel Ogbah was also signed that year, and prior to his injury shortened 2022 season, Ogbah had pressure rates and run stop rates right there with the best defensive ends in the business. Wide receiver Jalen Waddle was the next draft pick in 2021, sixth overall. 1,400 yards or close to it last year. One of the most electric playmakers in the game. Top-notch route runner. Zero argument to be had there. Outside linebacker Jalen Phillips had sack totals both years he's been here. But on a down-by-down basis last season, both against the run and the pass, was fantastic. And we'll talk more next segment about his time to pressure and how a player like Ramsey could see those pressures converted into more sacks and more impact plays. In that same draft class, in the second round, safety Javon Holland, three more picks this season, has the fumble production, can rush, held the roof on the defense all year long. Just go back to our combine interviews, and every analyst pointed to him as that dude and the guy that had the most to gain, really, from this Vic Fangio defense. At offensive tackle, Teron Armstead, I think that resume speaks for itself. I would say the exact same thing about wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Outside linebacker Bradley Chubb, we went over the increased pressure rate upon his arrival. We know what he did in Denver. We know about the athletic and production marvel that he was in college that made him the fifth pick in the 2018 draft. And now cornerback Jalen Ramsey, and again, like Tyreek and Teron, I don't think his resume doesn't need me to speak for it. It speaks for itself. And again, you extend that back to 2019. That's where arguably the best defensive tackle tandem in the NFL was acquired. Christian Wilkins, the first round pick, and Zach Sealer, a waiver claim in December. Hell, think about the tandems on this team. X and Jalen, Tyreek and Jalen, Bradley and Jalen. Jalen, with Emmanuel back off injury there as well. Javon Holland and Brandon Jones, Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins. I talk a lot about the 2002 roster with fond memories. This is similar. Now, again, that 02 team had some injuries and wound up 9-7. So on paper, it means nothing without proving it on Sundays. But you can see why there's excitement percolating about this football team. The proven talent is there, and it's at key positions. If you look at resource allocation across the NFL, the positions that NFL teams pay on average the most for, and this is kind of, you know, I suppose misrepresented by the mean average. Does that make sense? Because at quarterback position, for instance, teams only average $19.2 million at quarterback, but that's for one guy. So the receivers averaging around $40 million for, you know, four guys, a little bit different. But the top five positions in terms of what the NFL pays the premium spots, quarterback, edge, wide receiver, corner, and offensive tackle. That's all the positions we just talked about. Tip of the cap to Mr. Greer, tip of the freaking cap, and Brandon Shore as well, because he's a magician of the books and the cap. When I had Brad Spielberger on the podcast back in Indy, he talked about how Shore was one of the guys all the amateur capologists really study because of the job he's done with the Miami Dolphins. And let's go back to the destination aspect of it all, because Albert Breer, who writes the Monday Morning Quarterback column of Sports Illustrated, reported that Jalen Ramsey had a price tag for the Miami Dolphins, and then a price tag for everybody else. The power of a no-trade clause in a player's contract allows them to choose where they go ultimately, and it dictates trade compensation. This is where he wanted to be. In fact, he tweeted that he prayed about landing with the Miami Dolphins for the last month. How good does that sound? Top players are praying to come join what the Miami Dolphins are building down here. And a quick aside, I just rewatched the broadcast versions of both the Cleveland and Houston games in the middle of last season, and the commentary during both of those games talked about what the Dolphins are building, particularly the Houston game when Aditi Kikabwala had that great report on the relationship between Tua and coach and the confidence that McDaniel was able to help instill in his young quarterback. And that report extended the entire club and talked about how much fun everybody's having. And a quote from Tua that he's never been on a team having this much fun or has been this much fun to be around. She also mentioned that McDaniel said his number one responsibility he felt was to get players to believe in their own greatness, to see how capable they are as some of the best athletes this world has to offer. He had mentioned that in order to have fun and still get the work done, you need your elite players to prepare at a certain level. And what have we heard about Tyreek and Jalen, about Jalen Phillips and Javon Holland, about the impact Teron has had on the entire offensive line room, about Tua Tagovailoa's offseason and in-season preparation with the visualization out on the practice field 5-6 hours before game day, the game day field, I should say. It sets a standard when your top players compete at that level, and that's what Jalen Ramsey brings. And so the reports of Ramsey joining Miami coming in, I'm watching this thinking about how Jalen specifically pinpointed Miami as the place he wanted to go. A player like Ramsey, who has made it quite clear in many interviews that his competitiveness is his best trait. He wants to win. So one can ascertain that he looked at the situation brewing down here in Miami with his coach, with his quarterback, with all this talent, and said, that's the place that I have this best chance to go get my second ring. Sounds pretty good. Teron told us in his free agent interview last year, this is where he wanted to be. Tyreek made that pretty damn clear, that Miami was a preferred destination. Did you go on Twitter when Vic Fangio's name first resurfaced as a defensive coordinator candidate this past offseason, or this offseason? There wasn't a fan base that was not clamoring for him. I have to imagine he had his pick. Man, another star player, another needle-moving game changer. I can get used to this trend. I love the aggressiveness. I love the idea of loading up during the cycle when your star quarterback is still on that rookie deal. It's the understanding of life cycles, right? Team building, in particular windows to maximize, and just the understanding that star players are typically what makes the difference in big, important, late-season games. Star players made the plays in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs this year. They made the plays for the Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, and 49ers in all of their respective runs to the conference championship rounds. I mean, after the attrition of an entire season, who had better rosters than those four teams from top to bottom? The Eagles punched their ticket to the big game with Hurts dialing up Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, running the football behind a star-studded offensive line with a defense chock full of household names, which has already been picked clean with free agents going elsewhere. The Niners did the same thing with their defense and an offense that featured the best left tackle in football in Trent Williams, a top 10 receiver in Deebo Samuel, arguably the best running back in Christian McCaffrey, arguably the best tight end in George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, who's also, in my opinion, a top 20 wide receiver. The Bengals have been adding star talent along the same timeline as us since 2020. The Chiefs have the ultimate cheat code at quarterback, and Travis Kelce is pretty important too. How about their defensive line? Pretty damn good, on top of Chris Jones being a pocket pusher all postseason. My point is, you need players to match up with those stars in this league. And for Miami now, with stars at key spots, has to feel pretty good about at least the possibility of going toe-to-toe with a team that has Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, with the pass rush of Phillips, Chug, and Ogbon and friends, and Wilkins and Sealer inside. How about matching up with Stephon Diggs or against Jamar Chase? They have to like their ability to attack defenses that have a Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed with Waddle and Hill. Again, it's on paper, but we don't play the games in March, so we're left to just forecast and evaluate the moves, and the move says Miami drops yet another superstar player into the mix, and at a critical position. And not just that, a critical position that was left with a massive void last year after we lost CB number two for the entire season, and then the eventual injuries that piled up beyond Byron Jones, who's now been released since then. But now, though, now you make a big move to potentially force quarterbacks to hold the football a beat longer. And coming up next, I'm going to tell you why that's bad news for Dolphins opponents in 2023. We're also going to study Jalen Ramsey's film, talk about the numbers, talk about the fit in the defense. We also have a guest coming on the podcast here to tell you about Jalen Ramsey the human and what makes him tick. That's all next. Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by Auto Nation.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's the Jalen Ramsey edition of the Drive Time Podcast, and I think it's high time we get right back into the tape and numbers of the superstar cornerback. Let's go ahead and start with the easy part, the numbers. Let's go first through the counting stats. Not my favorite numbers, but we'll go ahead and use them anyway. 7 years a pro after being drafted fifth overall in Jacksonville back in 2016, finishes second in Defensive Rookie of the Year voting that year, and that was the only time he was not a Pro Bowler. Since then, 6 Pro Bowl berths, 3 times a first-team All-Pro. That's a number you really want to look at. And he's done that by intercepting 19 passes, 20 if you count the postseason, one of those for a touchdown, 92 combined passes defensed. He is a ball hawk by every... every definition of the word, forcing 6 fumbles, recovering 2. He's got 452 combined career tackles, 21 of those for a loss, 5 QB hits. He's got 2 sacks, and he started 107 of his 108 NFL games. And Pro Football Reference had him with 3 seasons of an approximate value of 15 or better. That is a positionless measurement of a player's production in a given season. No cornerback in football can claim more seasons with 15 or better in the AV category since 2016 than Jalen Ramsey. That's when he came into the NFL. Next, his PFF metrics. I always like starting here because it tells you about what you can expect from a reliability and durability standpoint. How about Ramsey's snap totals? 1,078 was last year. The Super Bowl run, which gave him 3 extra games, 1,269 snaps. Nice. Almost 1,300 snaps. The year before that, 1,088. The year he was traded and missed some games from a holdout, 780. The only year he didn't play 1,000 snaps was that year with the contract dispute with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The year prior, 1,019, when they went to the AFC Championship game in 2017 and played 3 extra games, 1,212 snaps. And his rookie year, 1,061 snaps. He averages just under 1,100 snaps per season. What did we just talk about? Miami could not get a healthy cornerback room all year last year. Not only do you plop in a superstar, you plop in a superstar who just doesn't miss games. That's part of why the cornerback position is one of the premium ones. It's one of the few positions remaining out there that never leaves the field. Not to mention trying to match up weekly with what has become, in my opinion, the best position the NFL has to offer. There are 50 good wide receivers right now in the National Football League. There's a big dearth there in terms of the talent at receiver versus cornerback. Well, go get yourself a Jalen Ramsey and get that fixed. How about a career passer rating allowed of 80.8? Only 2 years of his career had a passer rating against over 90. He's got 4 under 80. He's been the man, right? Covering number one receivers really since he came into the NFL, especially from that first All-Pro season back when he was a linchpin in that Jaguars AFC Championship run. 4,598 career coverage snaps, so 4,600 and just 4,700 yards allowed. That's barely over 1 yard per coverage snap, barely. And that's a great figure for any cornerback, much less a guy who has almost exclusively drawn the opposition's, not just top receivers, top tight end, top running back. He covers everybody, and that tends to tailor the game towards the offensive player. So Kittle on Ramsey, McCaffrey on Ramsey, Tyreek Hill on Ramsey, whatever you want. Those are the kind of guys he matches up with, and he still checks in with what is considered an elite number in what, in my opinion, is the most important coverage snap, yards allowed per coverage snap. Let's round out the numbers here before we begin to get into the film, the stuff I really want to dive into. He virtually never blitzed with the Jaguars, 8 such reps in 4 years, but he set new career highs in pass rush attempts each year with the Rams, 13, 21, and then last year he had 23, and his pressures went accordingly, 4, 5, and then 8 last year, and that includes being involved on 2 sacks last year. They were both full sacks. But that speaks to his ability to take good angles, squaring up his hits, and finishing tackles. Pro Football Focus has him with 27 and 26 run stops the last 2 years. That's the stat that counts for tackles within a certain percentage of yards to gain for the first down. Essentially, it measures when the defense gets a win on the play. Like 2nd and 6, if you make a tackle within 2 yards to get 3rd and 4, that's a defensive win. In fact, he's one of the 5 corners who had more stops last year than Kader Kohu. More on that in a moment. But he also just doesn't really miss tackles. 46 of them in 7 years per PFF. It's an average of 6.5 missed tackles per year for a guy that's making 70, 75 tackles a season. His missed tackle percentage among corners since he came to the NFL is 8.8. You guessed it, tops in the National Football League. He's one of the best players in the league. That's what all the numbers tell us, and we'll get into the film here in just a moment. But I wanted to cover this further because during the second half of the season, actually, let's go ahead and take our last break right here and come back on the other side. We'll talk about just that, how the rush and coverage marry together. That's next Drive Time Podcast. Your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by Auto Nation. So, leaving off on the last segment, talking about the marriage of rush and coverage together and how Jalen Ramsey could potentially really push that needle in the right direction for the Dolphins defense. And this is where you should get really excited. We saw Miami turn in one of the best pressure rates in the NFL, which of course coincided with Bradley Chubb's acquisition. In fact, it propelled Miami to the third highest pressure rate behind only Philly and Dallas last year, per the ESPN pass rush win rate statistic. But opposing teams did have the second quickest uncover rate, players generating more than 1 yard of separation within 2.5 seconds. Miami was 31st in that category. So you can see how putting Ramsey into the mix could tighten that coverage and allow for just a beat more hesitation. And if you get that, oh boy, the negative plays start to pile up. And this is something that Seth always talked about on our post-game show or just watching the games together. Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank podcast saying, you know, X maybe statistically isn't having the year we're used to for Xavier Howard, but when he's out there versus when he's not out there, you just see the difference. And now think about that by multiplying X and putting two of those guys out there, and think about what that does for Kader Koh. Think about what it does for X. Think about what it does for the safeties, for the pass rush. Whether, you know, back to the negative plays piling up, whether it's lost yardage from sacks or, what's preferable, hitting the quarterback and he goes to throw the football as you hit him and it causes an errant football or a football on the ground. Now we're not talking about, you know, getting to 2nd and 10. We're talking about getting to 2nd and 16 or getting to 1st and 10 Miami Dolphins football in plus territory. I know you all remember the Browns and Jets games when Jacoby Brissett and Joe Flacco were just miraculously, time after time, getting rid of the football just in time. Like Flacco throwing the ball from his hip pocket while Phillips has him wrapped up and throwing him to the ground. I'll never forget how mind-blowing that performance was just for getting the football out of his hands under immense duress. In fact, that game produced the most pressures in under 2.5 seconds of any defense in the NFL in a game in the 2022 season. Yeah. The Dolphins defense did that. Obviously, Coach Fangio is going to craft his defense to this roster, you know, for his defensive personnel and how he views the game for 2023. But we have his entire coaching catalog to go back to inform us on what we might see. And while I'm sure there will be adaptations for the players and for the times, you kind of have a feeling for what this defense looks like. And it tells you not a lot of blitzes, a lot of four-man rushes, lighter box counts, and some very complex but effective man match and zone match concepts in the back ends that typically puts the defensive back's eyes on the quarterback and allows them to hunt the football from a position where they can defend multiple routes within a concept. And man, I think about that for Jalen Ramsey. I think about that for Xavier Howard. I think about that for Javon Holland. You've got three absolutely proven ball hawks squeezing receivers and passing games behind a pass rush that has dudes who can win one-on-ones up and down the line, whether it's Phillips, Chubb, Wilkins, Ogba, if Melvin Ingram comes back, if we get, you know, Raekwon Davis inside. We've also seen Fangio defenses rank near the top of the NFL in takeaways, and typically when they do, it's because of their ability to turn the football over. I should say rank top in terms of defense and scoring, and typically it happens with great frequency of takeaways. Since 2011, when he became the DC in San Francisco, His defenses have finished first in takeaways twice, top six two more times, and top 16, which is the top half of the league, in 7 of the 11 years. And I think you can draw a lot of parallels to the personnel he had in Chicago, in San Francisco, that he does here as defensive coordinator. So getting in position to take the football away has always been a hallmark. So has tackling corners. And I mentioned it earlier, Kohu was 6th in PFF's run stop stat among corners. Ramsey was 4th. So when you think about playing with those lighter boxes to give you more firepower against a Patrick Mahomes-led offense, you've got trustworthy tacklers on the perimeter, and X is included in that as well, to help fill those wide gaps on outside runs, but also come up and sniff out the screen game. Both Jalen and Kader are exceptional in that department. It just helps Coach Fangio be flexible with what he wants to do. Corners who can play multiple coverages and also come up and tackle, not to mention the sure tackling he has at the safety position. Man, the personnel matches where he specialized in the past. And you've seen Ramsey play press man mirror, where he's not getting physical contact on him, but just come up and shadow on the line of scrimmage. But typically, especially in 2020, in that Brandon Staley defense playing off. And it made me go into True Media and found this because I wanted to give you something tangible regarding the potential impact improved coverage could have on a pass rush and why I think there was such a disconnect last year for the fan base and the actual production in terms of turning pressures into sacks, hits, and turnovers, which that's tangible, right? Ramsey was in coverage on 117 snaps last year, in which the Rams generated a quarterback pressure. On those snaps, he had two picks and he allowed just five catches. Think about that for a second. The average separation on said plays was less than a yard. Coverage and rush marry together, man. It's so important. And now Miami has two all-pro caliber lockdown corners on the perimeter, along with, in my opinion, one of the best young slots in the game in a second-year player in Kader Kohou, and a pass rush that was third in pass rush win rate. This is the kind of move that you make in hopes of getting that time-to-throw number just a tenth of a second longer, and that's all the added chaos you need that comes along with that. And how about this? So the Dolphins had 40 sacks last year. They also had 338 QB pressures per PFF. From the 298 pressures that did not produce sacks, another 42 of those came within 2.6 seconds of the snap, but the ball got out. That's just me adding a tenth of a second, you know, kind of accounting for the Ramsey effect to that 2.5 figure. And it's also conveniently the same number that Tua registered last year for his average time to throw, 2.6 seconds, tied for the fifth quickest. And kind of crazy considering he led the NFL in average depth of target. That's a different discussion for another day. But the ball coming out 2.6 seconds is still lightning quick, fifth quickest. But Miami had potential for 60, 70, 80 sacks, because I'm not saying that all of a sudden Miami's going to have 82 sacks because of that, but I think it illustrates how if Miami can find that level of pass rush again, the potential for even more impactful rush exists. And watching his tape, gosh, I can't help but think that's what you're going to get from Jalen Ramsey. He's so good. Just watching his eight picks on tape from the last two years, you can see a common theme. I think it's important to understand that what we're dealing with here in terms of the athlete, and this is from his combine workout all those years ago, but it shows up on the tape too. He was 20th when he worked out back in 2016 among 1,083 corners all-time measured at the scouting combine between 1987 and 2016. His 4.41 40-yard dash was in the 89th percentile, had a sub-7.3 cone, but he was 91st percentile in 10 split, and he was 99th percentile in both the vert and broad jump. Those are your traits that typically translate to a very explosive player, and what do you see on tape? But a guy that does just that. He's usually peeling out of a coverage area and jumping a route somewhere else when he gets those picks. You see that recognition skill play out a lot. You can tell this is a guy who takes his preparation very seriously and does the homework to put himself in position to make those plays. He pairs that with really, really good quick twitch and ability to drive out of the back pedal, but more noticeable and more applicable, a zone turn with his butt to the sideline, stays on top of the route and kind of keys, you know, what's happening in front of him while also having eyes on the quarterback that allows him to play fast and kind of move with the quarterback's body. Like, you know, we talk about Tua and the kind of the hip fakes and the shoulder fakes and the eye discipline and manipulation. Jalen will take his chances on that, but it also puts him in position where he's beating the receiver to the spot that he wants to go because of his ability to play with knowledge of where the receiver is, but also having eyes in the backfield. And it's an innate ability to keep those receivers right at his hip pocket while reacting to what the quarterback is doing. And he's so freaking physical. He's 6'1". His arms are just shy of 34 inches. He's 208 pounds. He'll put hands on you at the line and control the rep, but that's not really what his game is most of the time. You notice it more with his tackling. He rarely misses, and I think that the temperament that he brings is a big, or usually is, the biggest contributing factor to great tacklers, but also long arms help the technique of arrive, wrap, and roll. You know, you kind of hit the hips, wrap the thighs, and then you kind of roll down the lower half of the body to prevent the runner from getting away and bringing them to the ground. He does all that so well. Because he's playing coverage from a lot of off positions, and this is where I think you see that preparation quick trigger stuff really come into play. His first pick of 2022 was him playing off against a two-man route combo, and he's moving before the quarterback lets the ball go, and he just goes right over the top of the wide receiver and takes the football from him. We track contested catches for wide receivers. With Jalen Ramsey, you have to do it with a cornerback as well because he is better than most of the guys he goes up against. That also saved a win, by the way. There was like 1 minute and 10 seconds left in a 6-point lead in the red zone, and he gets a pick. It's just this on repeat. Go to the Panthers game this year. He passes off a wide receiver and jumps a little swing route from Christian McCaffrey and closes behind the line of scrimmage for a big collision and a tackle for loss. Instinctive nature puts him in position to make plays, and he pairs that with world-class athletic ability. That's why he's the number one player like at this position for a long time. You look at his deployment this season, and there was more variety. Like against the 49ers, when he would match up to the three, the furthest inside wide receiver, in this case, that was George Kittle. Like, think about that. A guy who went against the Cowboys and played CeeDee Lamb all game. Then he goes the next week and plays against one of the game's best tight ends and matches up against him. And in that game, three targets, one against McCaffrey, one against Kittle, one against Ray McCloud. He also covered Debo and Ayuk and didn't get any targets against him, against those guys. The result in that game, two catches for 18 yards and a pass breakup. And that pass breakup was a route where he covers the three to the field, and then you see him jump the crossing route to the two, to the boundary, the opposite side of the formation. So a player he's not supposed to be a part of jumps that route, gets a hand on it, nearly picks it off. This is what I mean about matching up on anyone and playing in any alignment or technique. You fast forward to a year later in Seattle, he's pressed up against DK Metcalf. I should say a year prior. DK Metcalf runs a dig, and Ramsey fires off his back pedal and undercuts the route for an interception. The window was there, but he took it away. It looked like vintage Xavier Howard back in 2020, and you can see his understanding of the technique changes between man and zone because he's playing Metcalf on this rep opposed to the quarterback. The moment that Metcalf starts to sink his hips, which indicates a break, Ramsey breaks down and actually gets off the stem before the receiver does. That's high, high level stuff. It's the same reason I love Tua's game, right? He's reacting based upon what he sees and anticipating movement based upon the knowledge he has gained prior to that movement happening. That's how Ramsey puts himself in position to make great plays. I'm telling you, this is one of the easiest tape studies I've ever done. Sometimes you've really got to watch a lot of a guy's game to get a feel for his game. Ramsey's traits hit you in the face like a Mack truck. It's apparent immediately. Length, aggressiveness, functional strength, quick twitch, long speed, tremendous ball skills, the temperament, one of the best perimeter tacklers I've ever seen. He's also capable of shadowing the opposition's best player. Doesn't matter if it's a back, tight end, wide receiver. Doesn't matter. He's awesome. Remember the testimonials we did for the Coach Fangio podcast where Brandon Staley detailed his time working with Coach Fangio and developing his principles for the defense under the mold of what Fangio taught him? Well, Ramsey played under Staley for a full year in Los Angeles back in 2020, and here's what he did. First team All-Pro, 75 targets against 40 catches. That's a 53.3% completion rate. He allowed 396 receiving yards on 684 coverage snaps. Did the math for you. That's 0.58 yards per coverage snap. Remember, one is a great number for a perimeter cornerback. One interception, but you kind of see why. He wasn't getting targeted very much, although he did have nine pass breakups. But how about this metric from that 2020 season? And this explains why the dip in INT production. 52% of his coverage snaps saw him within less than 1 yard at the time of the target. That was the best in the NFL. On another 18.4% of his coverage snaps, he was between 1 and 2 yards. And that 70.4% tight coverage rate was nearly 10% better than the next cornerback in that category. And by the way, the number two cornerback on that category in 2020, he also plays here too. His name's Xavier Howard. That is my deep dive on new Dolphins superstar defensive back Jalen Ramsey. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it once again because I just feel like we get really good guests here on the podcast. This next interview with Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic is one of the best ones we've done here on the Drive Time podcast. We're going to talk about Ramsey, his fit in the defense, how Coach Fangio can challenge him. But there's tons in here for Dolphins fans, not just Jalen Ramsey, to get excited about the entire operation down here in Miami. Let's go ahead and take our last break and come back on the other side with the great Jordan Rodrigue. And joining me now is one of the greatest feature writers in the game. She covers the Rams for The Athletic and penned a great piece last year on new Dolphins cornerback Jalen Ramsey. It still feels good to say that. She is Jordan Rodrigue. Jordan, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on. We just had a really great conversation off air that we need to replicate on air in the future. future as well, about all the exciting things coming the Dolphins' way this year. Pretty stoked to see Jalen Ramsey land here as well. I think he's a great fit.
Yeah, don't worry. I hit the record button so we don't have to go back and do it all over again. But I do at some point want to get you on the podcast talking about some of the coaching clinics you mentioned going to. But that's for a different episode down the road, because I want to talk about Jalen Ramsey, because you know him as well as anybody in our industry, covering him for the last few years. And like I mentioned with the features, writing some great pieces on him. I want to dig into the person, but first I was hoping to just get your perspective on obviously a guy that they traded two first round picks for, was it 4 years ago, and kind of was the linchpin in that secondary. How do you think he made that secondary go in Los Angeles?
Well, he was the catalyst for the Rams. I mean, their team building, it wasn't just all in, quote unquote, in 2021. Their team building model, they really duct taped their foot around the gas pedal starting in 2019 when they traded those first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, because in doing so, they committed to a team building model that they'd sort of dabbled in before, which was a picks for players, sort of reevaluating, reassessing the capital of what a first round pick was, because they were winning so many games. Their pick capital as draft picks sort of lowered, their pick capital as trade capital rose. So they started reassessing that. But in 2019, when they really made that trade with Jacksonville for Jalen, that was when they really, like I said before, they sort of put that first layer of duct tape around their foot and the gas pedal, because at that point there was no returning from that model. There was no readjusting that model. It was quite literally the second they made that trade, they were going to be going all in for a chance at returning to the Super Bowl and then ultimately winning it. And so with Jalen, it wasn't just the fact that they were committing to a player of his caliber, an elite level cornerback, but also they were committing to what eventually would be a schematic overhaul. Back in 2019, Sean McVay, you know, had one of his roughest years, a couple of years as a coach, obviously until last season. But he had had to that point some of his first real, you know, adversity had gone against Vic Fangio's defense. He had gone against Bill Belichick, who had installed concepts of Vic Fangio's defense to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, to sort of stifle this high-powered offense. So Sean McVay already had one eye on getting this defense or elements of this defense for himself. And they already had Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey was going to be another big piece of that. So in trading for him, they essentially overhauled their defense on the fly back in 2019, committed to that team building model. And the ripple effect, I mean, you saw it. They bring in Jalen Ramsey. They start evolving his position so where he's not just an isolated corner on the outside. He's moving around the field. He's playing the matchups. Ultimately, he's playing what they call a star position, which we'll get into in a minute. And he's really maximizing all of the tendencies and layers and the evolutions of what this defense is, which then has a direct effect on the offense. And Sean McVay realizing he needs to trade for a different quarterback, which then leads to them bringing in Matthew Stafford, which then leads to them overhauling the offense, which then adds to them adding two more pieces in Von Miller and Odell Beckham, which then leads to them winning the Super Bowl. So it wasn't just a move for an elite corner that the Rams made. And that's why I think it's such a special thing that it's Miami who went and got him, because it's Jalen Ramsey is the caliber of player, the type of player that always signals something. He signals a catalyst for a team. He did for the Rams, and I think he's doing that for the Dolphins as well.
That star position mentioned you made there was really what kind of perked my ears up, because watching his tape, you know, people probably assume it's just Jalen Ramsey to the X receiver to the boundary, cover him and call it good. Like, that's not what he did. I saw some reps where he's playing the three to the field, which is George Kittle, and matching up against one of the game's best tight ends. He's covering Christian McCaffrey like on a slant flat combination. Just does so much to, like you said, make that defense go. And you also touched on two things that kind of bring it all back full circle with the Rams approach of, you know, trading those late first round picks, Miami with Tyreek Hill, Miami with Bradley Chubb, and it wasn't a first round pick, but now, you know, getting Jalen Ramsey here, a veteran acquisition for draft capital. But also you mentioned Vic Fangio and the elements of those defense that helped kind of stifle Sean McVay and the Rams offense early in his career before the Super Bowl championship. I just think it's kind of cool how it all comes full circle, and it leads right into my next question for you about Ramsey's role, not just these last 2 years, but 3 years ago when he played under Brandon Staley, who has, you know, the world of praise for Vic Fangio and what he taught him as a coach in this profession. But I was curious about his role in that 2020 defense and how it might have an impact in how he plays in Vic Fangio's defense this season.
Yeah, so he didn't start as the star. Troy Hill actually did, because they thought, you know, you're going to move Jalen Ramsey around with the X, and then you're also going to put him, you know, on the field side or the boundary, whichever side is maybe the highest probability of where the ball is going on a certain play, depending on the look you get. And they started noticing a lot of times teams would start motioning receivers away from him pre-snap. And this is a defense, as we know, rotates a lot post-snap, and it sort of becomes and manifests itself after sort of the illusion of complexity on, you know, before the snap, just as, again, the offense does on the other side of the ball. And so then they started saying, okay, well, what if we can make Jalen Ramsey an unavoidable player? And that's where the concepts that, you know, Brandon Staley already had sort of broached with other players with Sean McVay, they started to manifest maybe with using Jalen Ramsey as that player for you. And I think his willingness and his desire to actually do something like that had a factor in it too back in the day, because he had talked about some of that sort of creative freedom that that position allows and allowed him to use more versions of and more variables in his skill set, including, you know, in my opinion, he's one of the best tackling corners in the entire football league. So I think that allowing him to become a little bit more unavoidable, that started to evolve as time passed. By the end of 2020, he was moving around quite a bit. And then when Raheem Morris took over the system in 2021 and then in 2022, you saw him continue to move and move and move. And again, it's not always about putting him on the X. It was more so about understanding the tendencies of what the other team does, which, by the way, I think Vic Fangio does the best of any defensive coach in the entire National Football League, understanding which tendencies the offense is going to play you with, and then maximizing your matchups. And that's what they tried to do with Jalen. Now, at times, it didn't always work. You know, you saw some big breaks, especially with him as the nearest defender this last year. But at the same time, if you look holistically at the entirety of his skill set and the entirety of what his actual job was, and if you look at his play over the last 3 years within the context of that job, no cornerback in the league has been asked to take on a role of that magnitude, a high volume role, unlike one we've really seen from a lot of defensive backs, and then played it to that level. And I think that's where, when people talk about Jalen, and I think a lot of times reduce him into like sound bites and memes and whatever, as we tend to do. I think that's what people sort of get carried away with is, you know, the play coming out of the half against New Orleans where Olave beats him on a go. Like those types of things that is not necessarily going to be his job full time. Those high probability situations that stick out in our heads as recency or explosive bias. And I think that that's where we get a little carried away when the way we measure corners and DBs in general, we don't measure them by their jobs. We measure them by those explosives. And I think that's going to be the thing that's tough when you're looking at a corner like him, because in my mind, he's not going to just be one thing. He's going to be a lot of different things for this defense. And so you have to look at him in the context of that.
Now, that term unavoidable, I keep going back to that. That's a really smart way to put it. And it's just not very often you have players on defense that you can dictate matchups that way. And like you said, make them unavoidable. This is why I wanted to have you on, Jordan, because you provide context to the way things happened. And in football, I think it's so important to have context behind the results. And, you know, good process, not always good results, but context can help you understand what happened there. But I also wanted to have you on because, again, talking about that great piece you wrote, was it about 14 months ago on Jalen Ramsey and his, you know, intuitive nature. And I can't help but think about a couple of things that would stand to provide the challenge that you alluded to in that piece. You know, number one is what we just talked about here with Coach Fangio and the ball hawks that he's coached up in Denver and Chicago and San Francisco. Every stop that he was at, he had guys that had 4, 5, 6 takeaways per season, but also playing alongside Xavier Howard and against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle each day in practice. I'm curious, because you wrote about it in that piece quite in depth, how do you see this environment providing the challenge that he personally is looking for as a player?
Yeah, as I've gotten to know Jalen over the years, I've come to know him as someone who doesn't like being complacent or settled. He always has to be looking for the next thing to do and the next project, the next challenge. And when one of the things that's funny about being a shutdown corner is that at a certain point in that role on the outside only, on the island, which, by the way, no team really plays anymore. Just wanted to throw that out there. but also, if you're going to be that guy on the island like that, then you are you've seen all of your challenges at that point. Like the parameters of the challenge, it's always within the context of that one other receiver and that one other matchup. At a certain point, you've seen it all, you've done it all. Maybe you've done well and really, really well in some cases. Maybe you've struggled, and that's a different kind of challenge. But in terms of the job, it doesn't become a challenge anymore at a certain point if you know what will happen. And one thing about Jalen is that, like, when he has not been challenged in the past, this is when he's gotten restless and to the point of, and there are other factors in Jacksonville, obviously, in the story gets really in depth into those, but that was when he was becoming more outspoken about, I would like to do more. And he wasn't doing more. And instead it sort of became like, okay, well, we know he's going to handle that. So, you know, just kind of leave him there. And he doesn't like to be a person who, even if it's a high profile and prolific job, it's not really about the status for him. It's more about how much he wants to do, how much he wants to affect the game, how much he wants to affect his teammates, how much he wants to be a part of why teams have such a hard time game planning against a defense, and not just, you know, okay, put him on the outside and leave him there, and then we don't have to worry about that anymore. And so that was really interesting, digging into that part of his personality, because it really did seem like a perfect fit for what the Rams wanted from him and what they needed from him. Because with their team building model, it wasn't just that, you know, they were now going to overhaul parts of their defense. It was also that because you have Aaron Donald and you have Jalen Ramsey, the two of the higher paid players on the team, you're also now going to have to structure the rest of your defense using complementary players, often middle round draft picks that you have to develop and coach. And there's a certain point where it can't just be coaching. It has to be other players lifting those guys up with them. That's something that nobody, even after that story, like nobody talks about with Jalen, and they should. The way that he lifted up his other teammates, the way he challenged his other teammates. Now, it doesn't always come out the way that, you know, you would think that it would. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes he can be direct, and sometimes he can be mercurial in the way that he challenges people. But there's always what teammates grew to find with the Rams, you know, guys like Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, who he would be running red zone footwork drills against, you know, extra hours, you know, teammates that he would be paying for young DBs weight training and off-season workout sessions, because the younger DBs don't often have the financial means, especially if they're a late round draft pick, don't have the financial means to get their own training sessions going. So he would be funding them, having people over to his house to play pickup basketball, just because he wanted to see the way that certain guys manipulate space, not just to play basketball, but because he's studying them as they're moving and manipulating space on a basketball court in a confined sort of box. That all of that stuff are huge elements of Jalen's personality and how he sort of continues to push himself forward. And I think that with Miami, I mean, it's like an absolute playground of people who will do that for him naturally because of the level of competition, but also because I think you got a group of elite competitors there, just like the Rams had for several years, who understand what that is like, who understand that the only way any of them keep advancing is if they push each other. And that's where, you know, I'm not in Miami, but that's the impression I get from the caliber and the level of players. And then also from the coaching that they've brought in, and Mike McDaniel, and also in Vic Fangio, and the level of coaching that and the demands that he makes of his players. You know, when people think of Vic Fangio and Jalen Ramsey, sometimes I think their first reaction might be, oh man, let's wait for the fireworks. But actually, I think that this might be like a match made in heaven, frankly, because I feel like Jalen is always seeking out people who can give him more answers and give him more answers to the test. Vic Fangio is that guy, and he's going to coach Jalen hard. That's another thing that people don't understand or didn't really know on the outside about him, is he wants to be coached really hard. He wants to compete. He's going to practice like it's a game every single day. And so those other guys, I think, you know, if they do take that in the right direction, I think it'll make everyone better.
He's also got a former All-Pro and Sam Madison coaching the cornerbacks here in Miami that I'm sure he'll be happy to listen to. And his good friend as well, Xavien Howard, who is kind of that same makeup like you're talking about. And this is why you're such a true pro, Jordan, because you went right into my next question here talking about, you know, I don't know if you saw the Albert Breer report who mentioned that Jalen Ramsey desired to be a Miami Dolphin. He tweeted as much, Jalen did, talking about praying coming to Miami. And, you know, you mentioned that that standard set by the elite players on the roster. We just had Mike McDaniel, I forget where it was, if it was the combine or one of his latest media availabilities, talking about how important it is to have your top-level players set that standard because it can then create an environment of hard work, but also allows the guys to have more fun and just be more themselves. And we heard all year last year about how much fun this team had together and how special that locker room chemistry was. And so I'm curious, is that what you think was the draw for Ramsey to want to be in Miami? Like, what caused him to tweet that? What caused him to pray to be a Miami Dolphin here at the end of the day?
Well, I say this like slightly tongue-in-cheek, but like California taxes and Florida taxes are very different. Sure. First of all, I will say that. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, like, this is kind of what I was saying before, when I feel, you know, you've now gotten to know this part of Jalen Ramsey's personality, where like there was a time in his life where he wanted to play for one team for his entire life. And once he realized that that's not a reality generally in the NFL, that's an outlier. I think he started to understand that it's okay to push, to do things that are outside your comfort zone, to go places where you will be challenged and where you feel like you can thrive. And I think all the reasons we've mentioned before, Miami is one of those places. So it did not surprise me at all when I heard early Sunday morning that Miami had sort of reemerged as a front runner in this, because it always felt like a natural fit based on the pieces and the coaching in place. And also, you know, in terms of what they are sort of quite clearly preparing to do and accomplish this next season. If you're a player who at that point is comfortable being unsettled to the point where, you know, sometimes you call him a mercenary, but like, that's not even maybe the right word here. If you're comfortable being unsettled because you know the next challenge will allow you to reach that next level, not just for your personal aspirations or your professional aspirations, but that next level, that to put yourself in a space where your mind is at its best, where you're physically working at your best, I think that that's also a huge part, a huge element of his personality, is that sort of seeking mentality. And it's funny in the NFL because you don't always get a chance to do that or to have the autonomy. And I think Jalen has really been different, an outlier in certain ways, because his ability has given him more autonomy to have those favorable destinations emerge. And I think for him, I mean, he's been pretty open about it. This is somewhere he really wanted to be for all the reasons that we mentioned, but also because I think he'll be pushed here. And I think he wanted that. And, you know, LA is in a very different place in 2023. And, you know, it was not a secret that this was going to be something that was pretty mutual between the team and the player, because they know him too. And they know, you know, kind of what the next step for him could be, whether or not, you know, there's contractual details and things like that. But in terms of him as a person, they kind of know, I think they knew that it was time, and so did he. And so I think that this is going to be really fun, really interesting to watch moving forward.
Yeah. The need at cornerback matches up for what you talk about with his desire to be, you know, a big part of the team's success, because last year the Dolphins just had horrible attrition at the cornerback position with injuries that piled up time and time again. And I was going back over his Pro Football Focus page, and he averages like almost 1,100 snaps per season in his career. And it's that durability goes a long way. I want to ask you about this, because you alluded to that the basketball, having players over his house to play basketball, really kind of piqued my interest. And you mentioned the curiosity that he has in his life and the piece, and kind of kept coming back to that as a theme. And my question was, how do you think that translates to success in the football field? But I think you kind of touched on that enough already. It's where I'm more curious about those basketball games and just how he finds, you know, I think the great ones tend to find unique ways to improve themselves, even when they're, you know, at home chilling with friends on the basketball court, finding just different little things to apply to their profession, to their craft. I'm curious to hear more about that.
Yeah, it was that one kind of blew me away when we were sitting in one of the interviews we did for the piece, because, you know, I knew he was different, and I knew that he thought about the game in a different way. And I knew he has a much more almost like, anthropological way of like viewing the game. And this is a guy who's like game planning with the coaching staff as well, by the way. So one of the brightest players I've ever covered in my entire career. And then someone who is like, he's roster building with the front office. He's game planning with the coaching staff. I mean, we always joked, like, I'm like, you're going to be a GM. And he's like, no, I just want to coach high school football one day against Eric Weddle in Southern California. Like, you know, awesome. It's funny, you know, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, that's going to be the best high school football right. team like that's ever existed. And so, but you think about like how he views and how he kind of absorbs people. And this is one of those ways where, yeah, it's fun to play pickup basketball with your friends. But like, again, he can't just let something be fun. Like, it has to build to something. Like, it has to mean something. It has to, and it's like he can't even help it, right? And so this whole scenario where he's like, he's inviting all of these young players over, and he's inviting players on offense over too, because he wants to know about that side of the ball too. So like, he's inviting everybody over, and these basketball games, they become so much more than that for him, because in you're figuring out how you affect space, what buttons to push too, by the way, when it's the offensive players, like what bothers them, what bugs them when you're playing pickup basketball. I mean, that's a fast paced environment. You can really find out quickly what bugs people. So what kind of trash talk gets you to a certain level, like those types of things, but also how his fellow teammates are in space, how they manipulate really fast twitch, small compounded sort of phone booth environments, because so much of the movement that we don't see on a granular level with these players is what they do with those tiny microscopic movements that set up the larger movements, that set up the larger manipulations of space. Usually when we are paying attention to a DB, it's when the ball is moving through the air, right? And the job is so much more than that. And Jalen has really made it into so much more than that with everything he's done. And especially the role that he took on with the Rams, it is about, you know, 90% more than just the ball traveling through the air and what you're doing during that time. And so those basketball games, really, especially with young teammates, with new teammates, with teammates who he was meeting because they have had rotating personnel through that room over the last 3 years, and really helping him understand like how people move, how they navigate space, how they control space, if they can control space, what they can do, how they set other things up. And I think that really translates over to, like I said, those like finite and like microscopic movements on a granular level that you have to be able to do and be in full control of as a defensive back.
Gosh, that's the micro I love here on the Drive Time podcast, right up our alley, Jordan. That's really hitting the keys, I should say, of what we like to cover here. It fascinates me is the stuff you just talked about. I mean, the little minor details that you can impose to improve your game and yourself as an athlete really kind of fascinates me. I want to finish up here, even if it's a bit of a recap what you just discussed, but just finish up with ultimately, what do you think the Dolphins are getting in Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, he was voted a team captain by the Rams for the last 2 years, and that's a player vote. So I think that's substantial. I don't know, you know, every locker room's different. Every dynamic is different. There's a lot of really high caliber players and people on that Dolphins roster. But he will look to have an impact in more ways than just on the field. And he is someone who, like I said, he wants to get into the books. He wants to get into not just the playbook, but also the book that has all the Excel spreadsheets of how the roster is constructed. Like, he wants to be recruiting other players to join him. He wants to be somebody who is involved in every facet of the team, because again, he just doesn't know any other way. And I think the best thing the Dolphins could do is let him, frankly, because I think that that's something that really he grew as a person and really elevated himself as a person and a player in Los Angeles because he was exploring new facets of the world around him. And I think that that's something that he will look to bring and try to bring, something I would imagine would be encouraged under Mike McDaniel as well. And on the field, you know, I am so curious to see how Vic Fangio deploys him, because again, he has been one of the players in one of maybe five players for and frankly two who have done it full time, who have played that star position and done it to this kind of extraordinary, like, I don't even know the right word, but basically like blazing a trail of what this position could be. And sometimes, you know, you guess wrong sometimes when you're figuring out what these new steps are. But more often than not with the Rams, I think he guessed right. And like I said, when you get someone with as much of a detail for tendencies as Vic Fangio has. I mean, it's like whispered legend among all of these coaching buildings across the league. When you do have somebody with that detail for tendencies, if you want to make him a truly unavoidable player and completely limit and shrink the areas of the field where a quarterback can actually throw the ball and sort of dictate, and you can assert as a defense instead of react, I think that Jalen Ramsey is a player who allows you to do that.
Well, we knew about the talent, but now we know about the potential scheme fit and what really makes him tick, which, by the way, it just sounds like you described Mike McDaniel in so many ways, too. So I cannot wait for those guys to get a chance to get together and chop it up and talk football and then life and whatever the heck they want to talk about. It sounds like they'll have a lot in common there, with just with how their brains work. It's really fascinating to me. You can find her work, Jordan Rodrigue, at The Athletic, the 11 Personnel Pod, aptly named. Jordan, obviously a very savant X's and O's expert there. You can also follow her on Twitter, at Jordan Rodrigue, but there's an underscore between Jordan and Rodrigue on the Instagram. Just wanted to put that out there. Jordan, we really appreciate your time today, and wish you a happy new year here in the National Football League.
Happy new year, indeed. Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
And away she goes. If you have not had a chance to go back and check out that story on The Athletic, it's a great piece on Jalen Ramsey. She knew him as well as really anybody that covered the guy. And you can tell it shows in the way she did the work and did the podcast here and wrote that story. Very, very, very good. All right, that's our time on the podcast today. We're going to do one of these for all the new players we acquire. So Mike White, David Long, those reported signings coming up here soon. We'll get to those podcasts with you guys as well and do it the exact same formula. Stats, film, fit, interview with the beat writer from their previous team, all kinds of good stuff here on the Drive Time Podcast. In the meantime, it's going to be my time. You all, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at Wingfield NFL. Follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank Podcast, the YouTube channel, and of course, last but not least, all the five things pieces on these guys written up on MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up, Carolina Cameron, daddy's coming home.